We enjoy having you with us online. I've got some pretty cool sermon examples this morning for you that if you bear with me, I'm going to get kind of set up. And as we're getting ready, these will become important later on, and I'll kind of explain them. Some of you may have seen some of these already if you've seen some of my past sermons, but they are nonetheless applicable to what we're going to talk about this morning. If you would, go ahead and turn over to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. That is where we are going to be. Ephesians chapter 3. And what we're going to be talking about as we're wrapping up our giving sermon series. Bear with me just a second. I've got to open my sermon presentation here. I know, it's just one of those deals. Technology's awesome until it doesn't work right for you. So, there we go. Ephesians chapter 3 is where we're going to be at this morning. As we get started, though, I'd like to have a volunteer. If I could get a volunteer, that would be great. Do I have a volunteer who wants to come up? I don't have a big crowd this morning, so it's going to have to be somebody. Not my usual crowd, but if I got a volunteer, I got Dave this morning. You can come right down in front there, Brian. I keep wanting to call you Dave this morning. I don't know why. Now, I appreciate you volunteering your time to come up here and be a part of this, to be courageous, to come up in front of all these people, turn around and say hi to all the people and the people in the camera and everything else. See, you know, there's something that happens when you give of your time, your talents, and your treasures. That is called pouring out. And when you pour out, what usually happens is you receive a blessing for pouring out to the God and what He has done for you. He pours back out to you. And I just wanted to bless you for volunteering up some of your time this morning to come up here and be a great sermon example for me. Everybody give him a hand. See, sometimes sermon examples are just weird and uncomfortable. But that's it. See, he came and he gave some of his time and he gave courage to come up here and we blessed him with a gift. See, this is kind of how the giving thing works. You're good to go now. Thank you. That's how the giving thing works. You give and the blessings pour out. Now, I want to say that there are not that many people in the sanctuary this morning. And I'm hoping that there are a lot more of you out online this morning. But the thing about it is that everybody who didn't come, everybody who didn't volunteer, everybody who didn't give of their time, have now missed out on that blessing. That blessing has passed you by. See, that's what happens when we miss the blessing. Ephesians chapter 3, and in verse 20 and 21, it says this. Now him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's go to the Lord and ask for a little bit of wisdom this morning. Father in heaven, as we open the Word and as we begin to discover a little bit about Ephesians 3 and what it has to say on giving and the blessing, we ask, Lord, that your wisdom be imparted to us. We ask, Lord, that you give us a full understanding and a full measure of that, that we may apply these things to our lives, that we may be able to pour out as you are pouring into us. Let the Word become clear to us. Let it touch our hearts and let it change our lives. To look a little more like you and a little less like the world. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. For him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or hope for. What an amazing set of verses God has given to us here in Ephesians. But a lot of times we don't take this or we take it for granted and we say, well, you know, it was meant for somebody else. It wasn't meant for me. And we kind of miss out on the blessing. Well, I want to share with you a quick quote from Chester Barnard that says this. To try and fail is at least to learn. To fail to try is to suffer the immeasurable loss of what might have been. See, I wonder how many of you sitting out there are a little jealous that Brian's sitting over there with a candy cane full of Reese's peanut butter cups now. Like, man, I guess I should have jumped up and volunteered. I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, you can usually guess that if I'm going to ask you to volunteer, there's going to be a blessing involved. Now, volunteering for me sometimes is a double-edged sword. Sometimes you might have a little embarrassment. Sometimes you might have a little challenge you have to, but you'll always be blessed in the end. You know, the same is true in our faith. If we never try, if we never step out there, if we never give of our time and our talent and our treasures, then we will never know the blessings that God has for us. See, we have to put ourselves out there. We have to try. We have to begin, first of all, with relationship to Him. We have to pour out in prayer. We have to pour out in our hearts. We have to pour out of all of those things that He has given to us back to Him. And I'm telling you, test it and see if it isn't true. And then secondly, we must learn to pour out onto others that same blessing that has been poured out onto us. You know, that's what Thanksgiving is all about. Do you know why we love to have family close to us on Thanksgiving? And some people are going to say, well, because we like the fellowship, we like to share the love. I beg to differ, at least in our house, and I'll speak for me and my wife. We love to have our family with us because we love to serve them. We love to pour out blessing upon them. We love to share with them what God has shared with us. We want to be that love and that peace and that blessing to them that God has been to us. So see, there's two things on giving here. First, we pour out to God, and then we pour out to other people what God has poured onto us. That's the amazing gift of God. It's that it just comes and then we get to pour it back out and it never stops and it never quits. But maybe to get to understand this, let me read through chapter 3 of Ephesians real quick. It's not going to be on the board, so if you want to follow on your Bible, you can. If you want to follow on your tablets or your electronic Bible, you can. Or if you just want to listen, I want you to hear what's going on here in Ephesians chapter 3. And it says this, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together as one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace, given to me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of His mystery, which for the ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him, through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of the glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that the love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. According to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I don't know if you caught it, but it's here. It's here in three different phases. It's here saying, hey, look, Gentiles, you're missing out because you don't believe. You're missing out because the message that you have given to yourself and that the Jews have told you, you are missing out because of what people have said about you. You're missing out. That's the first part. He says in the second part that this blessing is for you as well as all people. It is not just for the Jew, but it is for the Gentile as well. So this message isn't just for the Gentiles. It's for everyone to say, hey, don't listen to what people say. God's blessing is for everyone. He is ready to pour out upon you if you're willing to pour out into him. And then the final part of this is that this blessing, this power that is derived from this love of God, is to the glory of God and for his great purpose. And so as we get into this, I want you to understand this. I'm going to read verse 6 for you again. And what it said here, this mystery that is through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together as one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. See, the Jews were missing the blessing. They had been told, you're not circumcised, you can't be a part of the blessing. You're these Johnny-come-lately people. Sure, you've heard this message of Jesus, and yeah, you can believe in that all you want, but unless you jump through these hoops, you're not part of the blessing of Christ. And Paul's saying that's a lie. You have been made co-heirs in the blessing of God, in the salvation that comes through Christ Jesus. This gospel message, this beautiful blessing of God is for all people, not just some. This great mystery that was hidden. See, it doesn't say the mystery changed from the Old Testament. It said the mystery was hidden back here. See, the message was always for all people. See, the Jews were never meant to be the only peoples of God. It was meant to be for all people. They were supposed to be the shining beacon of light. Go back and look through the Old Testament. It says time and time and time again, so that all people may know that I am the Lord your God, so that they would turn to God Almighty. See, they limited their blessing because they didn't believe what they were being told. They limited their blessings because they weren't asking, because of what people told them. How many times in your life have you been told you're not good enough? How many times have you lied to yourself and say, my sins are too big for God? How many times have we taken God and put him in the box because we didn't believe the blessing was for us? How many times have we limited God because we failed to pour out to him? How many times? I'm going to tell you, it's kind of like this. I got my three cups here, my time, my talent, my treasure cup. And every one of these are blessings from the Lord that he's given to you. If you're alive, you got time. We don't know how much time that is. Some people's cups are bigger than other people's cups. But everybody's got the blessing of time. If you're alive today, can hear this message, you have the blessing of time. You also have the blessing of talent. God has given everyone a talent. There's nobody out there that doesn't have a talent to do something. For the Holy Spirit imbibes in all believers the gifts. And every one of those gifts is a talent God has given you to spread to other people. And then you've got treasures. I'm here to tell you, we've all got treasure. Some of us have a lot of treasure, some of us have a little treasure, but do we use our treasures for the kingdom of God is the question. For God has poured out into you, are you pouring back into him? That's the question, because for so many of us, we believe in these things, and we try to believe the message of God, and here's this blessing of God, and yet this is as close as we get to the blessing. We're like this. See, this is the blessings of God ready to be poured out. This is the storehouse of God ready to be poured out. Are you ready to receive it? So many times we as Christians, we sit here like this water next to the cups and we're ready to be poured out, but we never ask for it. We never do anything. We never fully pour out into the experience of Christ to receive that blessing. We don't have, and so we don't receive it because we're not seeing it. Verses 8 through 10. Ephesians 3, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of the mystery which for the ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. I'm going to read verse 11, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's ready to pour out. The problem is we're missing it because we keep putting God in the box. We don't pour out to him. We don't pour out what we've already been given. What have you already been given? Well, at the very minimum, you've been given the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have nothing else to give, you have that to give to everyone else. You have that to pour back in thanksgiving to God with either your time, your talent, or your treasures. You have the ability to pour that back out. But if you're not going to be willing to pour it out, then God's blessing stops there. If we don't use his blessings to bless others and to bless him, and if we just hold on to those blessings, like somehow we're going to run out of them, then that'll be it. But the mystery of God says that if you pour out, he's ready to pour back in. If you're ready to pour out, he's ready to pour back in. See, a lot of times we take this and we say, okay, God's giving me some time. And he's poured in, and I'm gonna trust him, but I'm only gonna trust him this much with it. Because if I go any more than this, it might spill, and I might lose some of that time that God had blessed me with. And so we become kind of like that guy that the king gave him the money, the talents, and they go and you hide them, and we walk around with our time, and we do like this because we don't want to lose any of it. So we don't trust God with it, we trust ourselves with it. And we put God in the box because, look, I can't spill it now. I got it covered up and it won't come out. I won't have to worry about losing any more of it. But we don't want to pour any more in because that may mean I have it overflowing and then I'm going to lose some. And so we only trust him this much. And that's it. God will fill you with the blessing to the point of which you'll experience it and trust him with it. And if you only trust him with a little, then he'll only give you a little. But we got to take this to the next level. We've got to see it. We've got to see it all the way through. Because I'm going to tell you, every person is important in the ministry of God. And every person has something to give. And every person has a blessing to pour out for God's use and his kingdom. See, we want to be the example for the world. We want to have that wisdom that's enough for all. We want to give out to folks so that they see who we are in Christ. They want to see this real Jesus. You know, they read their Bibles and they read about these apostles and they read about the disciples and they read about all these wonderful stories they heard about in the past, and they're saying, why doesn't the church look like this? I'm here to tell you, folks, we become scared with our blessings. And we've only been allowed to bless so much because we're so unwilling to pour out of our time and our talent and our treasures. And we put God in this box as if he's in limited supply. And if somehow he's going to run out. But I'm going to read this to you, James 4, verse 2 through 3. You desire to, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, do you not receive? Because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. This is it right here. You don't have because, number one, first of all, you don't ask. And so you go and try and take it from others. You try to depend upon your own ability to bless yourself. And then that which you want, you ask for, but you don't ask it for the heart of God to use for the kingdom of God. You ask for it to pour out upon yourself. Look, folks, this is a hard message that comes from James. But God's never going to leave you or forsake you. God's not going to pour anything out on you that he can't pour out more. God's ready to bless you with all that he's got. Are you seeing it? Are you understanding it? Are you starting to get it? Because first and foremost, we have to be willing to use what God has given us for the glory of the kingdom of God. Are we doing that today, church? I'm asking the question, are you using your time and your talent and your treasures for the glory of the kingdom of God? Or are we using them for our own benefits first? That's a tough question you have to ask. Hey, that's a tough question I ask myself. Hey, look, I've been just as guilty of fulfilling self-pleasure as everybody else. I've been guilty of putting the kingdom of God maybe second or third on the priority list. We've all been in that place. The question we ask ourselves each day is, how can we repent? How can we come back from that? How can we turn our life? How can we do these things so that I can pour out these things God has given me so that others may be blessed, so that the kingdom may be blessed, so that God may be blessed by who we are? Because it tells us right here in James, I'm in a lot of James this morning too because I love it. It's a book of wisdom. It's a book that will really get you open. It says this, James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word. We like that. We like to hear it. We like what pastor says on Sunday morning. Well, that sounds good. Oh, that's a good message, pastor. But James tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Sometimes that's my hardest thing. I listen to it. I love it. I read it. I highlight it. I underline it. I look at the Greek. I look at the Hebrew. I look at the context. I break it all apart. I bring it all together. But I also got to do what it says so that I may not deceive myself. And so I want to give. I want to give and I want to pour out. Because if all I ever am is the water next to the glass and I never ask for it or I never pour out to God so that he can pour into me, then I'll never receive it. See, we've got to pour out so that he may pour in. We've got to pour out so that we may begin to grasp what it is he's trying to tell us, what he is trying to do within us. Ephesians 3, here in verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. He wants you to grasp. We think about grasping something, that takes action, doesn't it? You got to reach out and take hold to grasp. You know, I do a lot of engine work, a lot of maintenance work as a maintenance guy in the military. I grasped a lot of ratchets before. And let me tell you something, when you don't grasp a ratchet right, it falls down. And when you're working on airplanes, sometimes that thing falls down in a place you don't want it to fall down into. And the thing about being in the military and tools is every tool is accountable. And if you're missing a tool, you got to go find that tool. So it's not like you could just drop it behind a panel and say, whoops, here I got an extra one in my pocket. Let me just put that one in there. You got to go get it now. Because now it's lost. See, God is telling you that this mystery of his love and his blessings and the pouring out and the pouring in, you got to be able to grasp hold of it. And you want to hold of it right and you want to hold of it tightly so that you don't list, so it doesn't move and fall through your grasp, so you don't lose it. No, you want to grab a hold of it and you want to grasp it, because God wants you to understand that it is through our faith, through it is the things that we do that make us understand what God is doing in us. I want you to understand that while faith lets us see the unseen, your faith is not blind. Well, Pastor, that don't make a whole lot of sense. Hey, look, I didn't write the Bible. All right? I'm just reading it. It makes sense. Faith is what is the unseen, is the substance of things not seen. We read that in Hebrews. I'm going to read it for you here in a second. But that doesn't mean that we don't see the things God is doing. He didn't say that. He said the way God moves and the way God pours out is what builds your faith. And you can feel those things. You can see those things. You can experience those things as he pours them out. And that is the proof of God in your life. Because it is born of doing and experiencing this never-ending love of God that he is pouring out into us. The question is what are we doing with it? Because until we're pouring back out, we're not going to grasp it. Until we're experiencing it, we're not going to grasp it. Until we're willing to give up that time, our talent, our treasures, we're never going to grasp that love of God. Until we get in there and dig down deep in it and pour out to God in it in our experiences, we're never going to grasp it. We're going to brush past it. We're going to tentatively touch it. But we'll never grasp hold of it. To understand it, we must understand that that never-ending love of God continues to move in us and overflows from us. We can comprehend all of it if we experience. Let me go to Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11, help explain this for you. Which of you, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask of him? How do we ask? Well, we go to prayer and we ask. How do we ask? Well, I tell you what, we go out and we do for others as God has done for us. How do we ask? First of all, we know that God is God and we're going to love him above all things. We're going to love him with our heart and our mind, our soul and our strength. And then secondly, we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves. See, we're going to pour out in our actions, in our prayers, in our thoughts, in what we do and who we are. We're going to pour out as God is pouring in. That is how we ask. We don't ask with merely words and become just hearers of the word. No, we become doers of the word. And that is how we ask, so that as I'm pouring out my time and my talent and my treasures, God is going to fill me up to his level. Look what it said there. And know this, that God has all understanding, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Not filled to the measure which you think you need to be filled, which is what happens here. See, that's filled to the measurement. I don't want to spill any. This is my measurement. Oh my goodness, like God's going to run out. How many of us believe God's going to run out of blessing? I hope none of you believe that. No, instead, look at this. Look what happens. See, God wants to fill you to the measure with your time. See, this is the fullness of God. He's filled up and overflowing and pouring out. He wants to pour out into your measure your talents. This is the full measure of God in these things. Into your treasures, he wants to pour out. And he goes overflowing with his blessings. Where are you with these things? Are you willing to be filled to the measure of God, or are you satisfied with your own measure? Because it says here that God knows how to pour out far beyond what I know how to ask for. But I got to be willing to pour out so that he may pour in to me. Because he's able to do immeasurably more than me. Ephesians 3, and going back one and verse 12 there. In him and through him, or through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my suffering, which are your glory. He says, approach me, approach my throne, come here with freedom and with confidence. Stop holding yourself back. Stop not asking for the blessing of God. Stop saying that you're only going to go this far and not go all the way. Can you imagine if Brian down there, if he'd only come over just a little bit? It'd been hard to give him the blessing. I might have been able to throw it over there to him. Might have hit him in the head. We might have had, and it wouldn't have been good. We got to stop putting limits on God by saying, God, I'm only willing to go this far. God, I can only do this much. God, I can only give this much. God, I can only give this much money. God, I can only give this much time. God, I can only give this much talent. I got to save some for me. Don't you know, God? Lest we forget the example of the woman with the two pennies. And she gave all she had because she knew God was her provision. She said, I'm going to put these 2 pennies in. You know why? Because I'm going to get 20 pennies back. I'm going to put these 2 pennies in because God has never failed to provide for me. I'm going to tell you, unless you test it, you never know it's true, y'all. You don't test your faith, you'll never know it's true. Unless you pour out into God, you'll never know that He will pour back into you immeasurably more. So don't restrain yourself, but come to the throne of God with freedom. For in God is His Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in that truth and spirit. John 4:24. If we continue to say one thing, but we never really do it, do we worship in truth and spirit? You can say, I got faith in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, I just don't believe I need to give money to the church. Well, I gave $5 in the plate. That's all I could give. And maybe that's all you could give, but is it really all you could give? Hey, look, I know people got to volunteer for stuff at church. I know. But I'm just not in that place right now. I don't think God can use me like that. Why do you limit God? Why do you allow yourself to be talked out of the blessing He has ready for you? Why? If we never test that faith, we never go out, we will never be able to understand how He pours out overflowing upon us. We will never understand fully that faithfulness that He has in us. Look what it says here in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for. And it is assurance about what we do not see. I don't see God. I can't see God. To see God would be the destruction of me. And so I cannot see God. But you know what? I see what God's doing. There's a great example out there of that, and it's the wind. Look, you can't see the wind, but you can feel the wind. You can't see the wind, but you see the leaves blowing in the wind. You can't see the wind, but you feel your car rocking in the wind on Thursday. Boy, I tell you, it was moving on Thursday. You may not be able to see God, but you can see what He's pouring out in your life. And you can taste it and touch it and feel it, hear it. You can sense it because He's doing immeasurably more. And then you got to take that immeasurably more and you got to take it out to other people. Psalm 23, verse 5. Oh, I love this part. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Look, you want to get folks that don't know Jesus to come to Jesus? Let them see your table. Let them see the table that God has prepped for you. Let them see the blessings that He has poured out on you. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Are we overflowing to other people? Are we overflowing God's love upon them? Are we letting our light shine to them? Are we overflowing our peace upon them and showing them the peace of God that surpasses understanding? Do people look at your life and go, man, why you got all that peace? Look, people are dying for peace in this world. Are we showing it to them? Is our blessings overflowing upon them? And are we giving them hope? Matthew 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Are you pouring out your blessings in a way that is pouring out onto others? Whether by giving to the church or giving directly to other people and other ministries in life. See, this is what happens. See, God pours into us like this. And it's a wonderful thing that He does, because as He pours in and it starts to spill over, it goes out into other people. And they get blessed by what God's doing. And their cups fill up too, and what's going on there. And God just continues to pour out. And you can see that if it was a stack this high, you would see it pour out onto all these other people. Are you allowing your blessings to spill out onto others? Are you allowing your blessings to be seen before all men, that they may glorify your Father in heaven, that they may turn to His gospel and good news message, that Jesus Christ has died for them? Are you pouring out, church, that others may feel that blessing? We can't be stingy with it any longer. We've got to be a church that's giving. We got to be a church that's giving out, because when we give out and we pour into God and we pour into the ministry and pour into other people, God continues to pour into us. But if we're only willing to say we're going to go so far, we're going to limit that. We've got to be willing to pour out unto others and then so ask for what he is looking or for what we need. In this Luke 6, verse 38, if you want no reason to give, here it is. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure which you use, it will be measured to you. If you're only willing to say, I'm going this far and that's it, you're going to miss out on the blessing. If you're going to say, look, God, I can only be used in this way or that way, you're going to miss out on the blessing. Are you pouring out onto others the love of God, the peace of God, the grace of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you pouring upon them financially? Are you pouring upon them spiritually? Are you pouring upon them psychologically? Are you pouring upon him emotionally? What are you pouring out so that God can pour back into you? Because he's going to give it back to you, pressed down, measured out, and overflowing. That's how I want my faith to be. Pressed down, shaken up, and overflowing. That people may see God in me. Remember, faith is not blind, it's born of doing. It comes from the pouring out to God, and God has already poured into me. So many times we get close to the blessing, but we're just not willing to take that next step. So many times we get close to the blessing, but we confine God in the box. So many times we get close to the blessing, but we're just willing to give that little bit more. Sacrifice that little bit more. Pour out that little bit more. But I'm here to tell you, if you're willing to take that step, if you're willing to go that extra mile, if you're willing to just take that little bit more, God is going to pour out a blessing upon you that he is ready for you. It's sitting in his storehouse. God doesn't run out. He keeps going and going and going. He said, look, trust me in this. Test me in this. He says it in Amos. He says, bring it into the storehouse and see if I won't open up my blessings from heaven and blow your mind with how much I can give. Contemporary language used there. He'll blow your mind. But we got to be willing to give what he has given to us. And we give it to God. And we give a measure to him, what belongs to him. And we pour out to each other. And we want to go out this week and we want to bless other people. So you got to take your blessing cup. Okay? Oh, hold on. I don't want to forget my mask. I got to need my mask here. You got to take your blessing cup with you when you go. The only way to take your blessing cup with you when you go is to remember all the things God is doing for you in the week. Sometimes we write down our thanksgivings. Sometimes we got to pray on our thanksgivings. But we got to take them with us. We got to remember what God has done for us. Because when we take them with us, you know what we do? We take them with us and then we share it with other people. And we go, boo, blessings for you. And we come out here and we say, oh, yeah, look, Shirley right there. Boom, blessings for you. And we say, oh, hey, people online, blessings for you too. And we come over here and we say, hey, Dave, blessings for you, brother. These are social distance blessings right here. And we got some blessings for y'all over there. And we got blessings for y'all in the back over here. Woo! Oh, wait a minute. We got folks on top. We got blessings for them too. Y'all in the back. Ooh. All right, there we go. That's long distance blessings. We got to remember to bless others with what God has given to us. We got to remember to pour out for him what he has poured into us and not miss the blessing. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you have poured out so much that we can share with others. Thank you that we don't have to worry about how much we give out because you continue to pour in. If we continue to use for your grace and for your glory and for your amazing purpose, you continue to pour into us. And we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the wisdom of this word in Ephesians 3. Let us have hearts that are giving and loving for your purpose and your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we have a time here now of invitation. We usually play a song. We're going to have some music here in a second. We do have some people here, and I want to offer this time because it doesn't matter if you're here or if you're online. If you just need this time to just pray and glorify God, please take this time. Or if you need prayer upon your life or you need something in your life to move, I'm here for you. I want to pray for you. If you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and know his blessings, because I'm going to tell you, this message is great. This message kind of builds confidence. Don't be discouraged because God is pouring out into you. But I'm here to tell you, He can't pour out into you unless you are His. And that's truly the first blessing, is salvation. It's His grace and His mercy. And if you need to accept Jesus today, I would come on down. Doors are open. We're here for you. If you're in here and you need to accept Jesus Christ for the first time, we invite you in. Whatever the case may be, would you come forward as we play our song?